1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I was just outside enjoying the evening air. It's a lovely evening here in the desert, the mountains, and all of Southern California. It's about 81 degrees. There's a breeze blowing from the north-northeast and a beautiful fire raging on the hill. No, actually, it's kind of a nice night. We have a security guard downstairs. His name's Howard. He's a nice guy. But he only really has one thing to say as you walk out the door at night. He goes, kind of warm out there. And then you walk back in and say, real pleasant out there. Yeah, it is, Howard. Going, hey, Howard, how you doing? Kind of warm out there. But tonight he was right, man. I mean, it could be driving rain. It could be a sleet storm. Kind of warm out there. I know, it's cold. 1-800-449-8686. Very excited on the Phil Hendry Show to announce pre-orders for the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 CD available at the My Friend's Place. Actually, it's available at our website. Just go to www.philhendryshow.com. Click on the banner, and it'll tell you the rest. Don't worry about it. And the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 CD entitled Are You For Real? With a really frightening picture of Bobby Dooley on the front. Wow. Scary. I mean, this face of hers has been lifted, tucked, pulled, pinched, doused, and set on fire, and then put out with a track shoe. That's how good-looking she is. And her hair is all dolled up, bunned up, that blonde hair that's been bleached so much that it's the texture of dry, fire-ridden straw. Just touch it with a match. And she's got that tan, and she's got on her banana yellow pantsuit. She's ready for action, man. She's ready for... That's right. Yes, subliminally, Steve will be having a good time tonight. So anyway, check that out. And while you're on the website, also remember that all of the proceeds from the sale of our CD goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. We appreciate very much the benefit they had the other day. Michelle was there from our staff, said the place is amazing. They're doing great stuff. David Brinkman's the director. If you guys ever want to really get involved with what those guys do, you can go to their website and find out more about My Friend's Place. But our CD sales do benefit those guys. And our number here is 1-800-449-8686. We thank Chris Norton, our guest this evening. And certainly Father James McCorder's there talking about the money that cat won in the lottery. I see more cats buying lotto tickets. And there are all kinds of different guys in business suits. And gradually, the thought has entered my mind, why don't you buy a ticket, Hendry? And I don't, because I don't want to be a schmuck. Like most of us, I don't buy a lottery ticket because I don't want to be chump change. I don't want to be given the bread not to win anything. And then I think, well, doesn't it go to education? Then I realize, well, it used to, but I don't know where it goes now. I have no clue where the money for the California lottery goes anymore. Does anybody? In your state, you got pitched the idea for a lottery, right? And I bet you they told you this. I've got money that says, in fact, I'll start my own lottery. I got money that says when they introduced the lottery in your state, they said something along these lines, it'll go to our schools, didn't it? Yeah, huh? Well, guess what, man? No, it don't. It can't. There's no possible way the bread from the lottery could be going to the schools. When I'm driving by a school, man, a kid's still going to school in a cardboard box. You know those cardboard bins they go to, you know, they get a dipsy dumpster, they bang a door in it, they put a couple of windows in it, they put a little stepladder up in it, they call it a classroom. They go out and they get a mobile home. Yeah, what do the kids call it now? They even have a term for it. I think they're called, we had classes the other day in the bin. I mean, they don't even call it a classroom. They say, we got to go, where's my third period? Over in the bin area. I got a late period. I got to go over to the dumpsters. And you got a history class? Yeah, fifth period's in the dumpster. It's in dumpster C. What the hell? What is that about? How the hell? How do you? I don't know. I'm done trying to figure it out. It's like when I lived in Florida. They wanted to build a hockey arena for the Panthers in Broward County, which they did do. Even though Broward County has got schools, you can't even call them schools. I mean, they're going to school in like it's what they are is they're like empty cargo containers that the kids just walk into, and I think they've got a billboard, like a blackboard in there.
Cargo container 4 is where Dr. Hall will be giving his lecture on anthropological metamorphosis of the Paleolithic. Well, I can't pronounce it. I got tickets for the game tonight, so forget it. Thank you.
This is Principal Jones out. And but remember, every toilet that flushes at the Florida Panther Arena goes directly to the lunch program at those Broward County schools. All right. God, I hate that. I dig sports, man, but I can't stand that. There's something about it. That's why I hope they never put a football team in this town. If they ever build a stadium here in L.A., I'd like to say I'd blow it up, but then I guess that's illegal, right?
Yeah, it's terrorism.
Yeah, that's right, bud. Thank you. It's terrorism. So, no, I won't do it. If they move the Saints here, I will probably rob a bank to get the $50,000 premium that I need so I can get one seat. What is that about? Hi, we're the New Orleans Saints. We're moving to L.A. Are you rich? You know, they're going to ask you for a...
Yeah, Porky.
What's with the Porky? They're going to ask you for the 50 G's for one seat. And there's no way that you're ever going to go to a ball game, so screw it, man. By the way, I'm trying to get that mix, the NFL mix, my DirecTV. What do I got to do? Who do I got to know to get that? Don't you have it? You don't have the mix? The NFL game mix? You got that, Harry? What do you mean it's not worth it? You're lying to me. You're the guy that told me to get it, man. No, no, I'm talking about the game. Is that what the game mix is? The screen's a little tiny screen? I thought it was where you go to the channel and there's a guy giving scores. And then he says, by the way, here's what's happening in the New England game. He'll keep going to different games that you should go to. And then he'll show you the channel to go to. And he'll be showing things. That's not what that is? I don't have it. I tried to plug into it on Sunday, and it said, we're sorry, but you just don't get to have this now, do you? You call extension 6. I thought, I'm paying him $100.50 a year for the package. What else do I got to do? So the screen's only that tiny, huh? So it ain't worth it? You mean you can't watch 19 games at once? You don't have 19 eyes? What planet is that, you know? Some planet, man, when a cat's got 19 eyes, he can check out all the games. Screens, the TVs. I got a friend of mine, by the way, down in Florida, who had a television, one of those things he could figure it out. I think I've got it on mine where you can make the smaller screens. And he would break the screen apart, or however the hell you say it, split screen it. And watch the games that way, but he was psychotic. I mean, you know how much dexedrine you got to take to do that? Do you know what kind of a methamphetamine habit you got to have? Talk about snorting it off of a hunting knife. Get up in the morning, pull out that little film canister full of your crank, just start loading up, watch 100 games. And by say about 1 o'clock when you need to come down, then what do you start doing? Drinking some of that red eye? Straight Applejack, baby. 100 proof. All right, we're going to check into a little more of the email. We're going to get some pretty interesting suggestions from people like, hey, Phil, how about going off the air for a while? No, we've got a couple of ideas from people concerning forthcoming appearances. Do want to get into a couple of news stories. We have a flashback coming up, a by-request flashback. If you'd like to request a flashback, of course, you can do that via email at phs@philhenryshow.com. And we'll play a segment from a show that you like. And by the way, if you want to see the webcast that we did last week and you didn't catch it live, it's on demand on our website at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, Chris Norton's babe of the week is, it's Kali Roca. I wonder, she's on Teachers too? Well, how about that? So let's see, we've already featured Sarah Shahi. If you missed that shot, you missed a lot, friend. Now we got Kali this week, and then next, Chris Norton's babe will be Sarah Alexander. But it's going to be a tasteful shot, not some of the ones I've seen on the internet. And I don't want to say where, thank you very much. However, if you Google it. Here is our flashback by request. Says, hey, Phil, I was wondering if you could play that water polo bit. Not sure which one it is, but I just know the coach was in trouble because he had pictures on his website of the boys taking each other's Speedos off. And pictures of them in Santa hats and Speedos. Being a water polo coach, I thought it was freaking hilarious. Thanks. Best of luck on your show, your TV show, Dave. Here it is, man. This comes to us from May of this year. It's the water polo bit.
Yeah, I just can't believe this guy. I'm a professor, and I've had many, many coaches in my classes as well. And just because you get a teaching degree and just because you've won a few titles or whatever does not make you God.
And for
this guy to believe that no one has the right to challenge him about what he's doing with their kids, I mean, this guy's so narcissistic that, I mean, he has an answer for everything.
Well, no, I didn't say they can't challenge me, but I have.
Oh, you're going to throw them through the doors if they do.
Wait, hold on.
I'll tell you one thing. I bet you wouldn't throw many wives through the door around where I live, because they'd kick your butt.
Wait a minute. I know water polo. First of all, this lady comes into my office. Her son's not even on the team anymore, so what's she bitching about? That's number one. Number two, I heard her story. Now I asked her to leave, and she's still standing there. I said, okay, now, when you leave, I'll use your head to open the door.
You said this to a mother? This is a private school.
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't say that to my wife.
Why wouldn't I? If she was...
I'd beat your ass.
Yeah, okay.
You sound awfully bad when you're hiding there behind the microphone.
You know,
but
you sound like
any,
a guy who's...
I can't believe any school district would hire you.
Well, first of all,
you're sick.
You sound like you're about 5'2" with a lisp. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, believe me, at least I'm not a pervert like you.
I'm a pervert.
Have to attract people to your sport only because they are sex objects.
Look, just because you're sitting there, just because you got your tweed jacket on with your tenor at some freaking school that nobody ever heard of, doesn't mean you're going to tell me my job. See, you're telling me my job. Am I telling you your job?
Nobody has a right to tell you anything because, by God, you're a teacher and because you've won a couple championships.
Well, good for you.
You're so in love with yourself,
you know,
I can't believe it.
You're in love with you. You wear your little bow tie to class and you suck on a pipe.
See, you can't argue the point. You have to get into these little cute little things.
Well, you just said you'd kick my ass.
Really argue something worthwhile.
Didn't you just say you'd kick my ass?
Well, hold on for a minute.
And I know a lot of other people that would. You're not going to be making many threats to women around where I live.
Hold on. Well, where do you live, in a trailer park? What kind of a professor are you, anyway?
Well,
professor,
I think that's
what?
None of your business,
dog training?
Whatever what I do.
I happen
to be a psychologist.
Oh, well, that's good psychology. You'll just kick my ass. Hey,
well, I think it's appropriate when you have somebody that's as low in the totem pole as you. There's probably the only things you'd understand because that's the way you talk to women. You're really tough with women.
How many pens can you jam into a pocket protector at one time?
Isn't that funny? Can we get back on the point?
Well, this guy says he's going to beat me up.
Well, hold on. You said you were going to open a door.
You're going to beat up women.
You were going to open a door with a woman's head.
Look, I didn't ask her to come into the office and start browbeating me about a lousy picture that I thought would give her a thrill.
Oh, boy, you are sick.
How am I? Wait! Now
you're exploiting kids, is what
Hold
you're
on.
Doing.
You're
in a school system that hires you. They're sicker than you if they allow you to be employed there.
Well, first of all, this is a private school.
No, but I want this guy to answer one question for me. He's got to tell me how that's sick, trying to get people to an athletic event that heretofore has never been attended by parents.
Well, why don't you just have the boys and girls in there fornicating on the thing? That way it might attract more people, too.
I'm sick?
But you're saying that the ends justify the means.
No, I didn't say they're, quote, fornicating, as you said. I said I got a kid in his brief and he had a bulb.
No, I said, why not? I mean, if your only concern is attracting more people, why not make it a pornographic site?
Because I think that's over the line.
The means justifies the ends.
Well, you're a psychologist, okay? So why don't you do that? Why don't you attract people to your business by having two psychiatrists doing each other in a laboratory or something?
You're way off the point.
You know, Mr. Henry, these kinds of radio shows where you get...
What academy is he with and where?
Sir, I teach at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. It's a college preparatory high school. We have boys and girls involved in all kinds of athletics. And not only that, I teach as well in our math, in our human sciences department, in our health classes. And I know these kids.
They must be awfully hard up. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, you got a lot of judgment
to hire
going.
Someone like you and let you be there.
Yeah,
with the kind of attitude you have.
You got a lot of judgment going.
Egomaniac attitude.
You're whipping out all the big words now.
Well, if only break them down so someone like you could understand.
Narcissistic is not a big word.
Oh, you just said it was. Hold on for a minute. You got a lot of guts sitting there in your tweed jacket with your Sherlock Holmes pipe and your bow tie.
Well, you sure got me pinned right. I'll say that.
Let me ask you something. Do you part your hair in the middle?
No, I wish I did. I mean, I'd be glad to.
Okay, where are we going with this?
Well, I mean, this guy is...
I think the gentleman's made his point, and he's made it very well. You're using kids as sexual magnets, and...
No, I'm not.
You did say that you got pictures in there that have, you know, the bulge, and you want to give some premenopausal woman a thrill. Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did say that, yeah. I did say, and I don't deny saying that. I'm not having the kid go to her house and bet her I'm not having her go. I'm not having a kid go to her house and use his face as a saddle. I'm saying,
okay, that's not necessary. You're on my radio show now. Coach, you can do what you want in your athletic department, not on my show.
Oh, well, look at you. You getting all pushy with me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're the one that gets pushy. You're real pushy with women and young kids. But when an adult stands up to you, then you don't like it. That's terrible. That
I didn't know Poindexter was still on the line.
I'll say one thing. You certainly find your own comments funny, but I don't think anybody else does.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're not very bright.
I'm not bright.
No.
I thought the Poindexter line was pretty good.
No, it isn't. It's not. It's beside the point. It's childish, and it doesn't address what is essentially the thing we've been trying to address here. Using children, I asked you if they were minors, and you came off with some crack about it. You haven't seen them with a canary in a cage lately.
I didn't know what you were saying. Oh, so you're going to bust on me for that.
You thought I was
talk around the issues. He never really responds to the kind of comments that you make to him.
Hey, look, Yoda, why don't you hang up?
No, because I'm having too much fun with you.
Sir, Jack, you've made some good points here on our show. I'm going to let you go. Got to go to commercial break. Thank you very much, sir.
Bye.
Thank God.
Well, there he is, Vernon Dozier, when he was coaching water polo. And the way to get parents to the games, the way to get people excited about water polo again, was to, you know, have a, I guess he had a calendar with the guys in their little Speedo briefs with a banana jammed in. I don't know. You know, that was actually based upon, I don't know if any of you remember this priest. Boy, man, those priests, they were into all kinds of sick stuff. And there was a priest who had a wrestling website. And I remember I heard about this in the news. I said, well, let's log on to this thing and see what it looks like. There's no way that this guy's going to tell me that this is a wrestling website, right? Because the guy was saying, now, wait a minute, that's dirty pool, you know? This is a legitimate wrestling website. Oh, really? And what is it about? It's about young wrestlers. Okay, young male wrestlers. Young male wrestlers. Okay. So, and the cat's very indignant, and he's saying, no, you're not gonna label me as a perv. There's no way. This is legit, right? So we log on to this thing. What? Okay, dudes are standing there. First of all, the wrestling holds. Do you know any wrestling hold which is basically one guy's rear end over another guy's face? Because I'm not familiar with that hold at all. And they're smiling. So these guys are in wrestling briefs, and they're all like, yeah, hi, I'm doing a wrestling hold, and it's, huh? And then there's a picture of a guy, when I say guy, and he's, I don't know, they're 17-year-old boys, standing there in a brief with a Santa Claus hat and a little present. There's like three guys lined up with Santa Claus hats and presents. So, you know, it's one of those kind of borderline things. This guy, they closed him down.
Oh, you guys, you're trying to tell me that's...
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying, man. You're under arrest. Under arrest for child pornography. Do you understand?
Oh, that's rotten, man. This is not a free country.
Yeah, right. Tell it to the guys inside. So anyway, that's how we got the idea for that sick, twisted bit. Vernon Dozier, boy, there's a guy. First of all, he married some chick that as soon as she graduated, he asked for her hand in marriage. She'd been in his trigonometry class all year. Now the guy he's got some kinky sight with the water polo guys. On top of that, hasn't he had like numerous affairs with other women on the staff? And his wife has been bedridden for 3 years. He's all messed up. 1-800-449-8686. I want to get into a little bit of email when we get back on the radio show here. And we also want to dig into some of this kooky news, man. They had the Country Music Awards. You know, you have a very good friend, a nice guy, Dwight Yoakam. And Dwight's a nice guy. He actually performed at one of my friend's place benefits. And he's a cat that listens to the show and kind of, you know, psychotic, and we like people like that. And anyway, so Dwight says to me, I hear you got into it with the, because what happened was, is I called up, I wanted to go see a show over here at the Canyon Club, and I called up his management, and the chick that answered the phone, I don't know, I said, look at, you know, Dwight's been over to see our show, I was wondering if I could go backstage. Well, you know, there's only limited, I just said, you know, screw you, you redneck slut, and I hung up, and that's the last that I ever spoke to them. And then finally he called up, because he's a classy guy, I said, I tell you what, Phil, have you got, you know, about $6,000? I said, yeah. He says, I'll give you an all-access pass. Thank you.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, just to conclude the story about Dwight, so he was nice enough to give us a pass to his shows. Now, I don't, as a rule, listen to country music, but I like his music because, as he says, it's kind of a speedball of hillbilly music. In other words, it just comes at you, man. It's just, there's no mess. It just boom. You know, if you ever seen Dwight Yoakam on stage, he just kicks right into that straight-ass hillbilly thing, and it's good, it's solid, it rocks. There's no twanging, there's no rhinestones, although nobody does the rhinestone thing anymore. And then, of course, I'm a closet bluegrass fan. Oh, yeah. Don't even go there with. Don't start telling me how redneck it. I dig bluegrass. Love it. Love it. There is not a music that is better to toss shot after shot back to than bluegrass. And, you know, all that cornball clogging, all them hillbillies, cats with bare feet and overalls, the whole thing, I'm with it, man. Daisy May rolling around with a pig in the mud, you got it. Man, you know what? I should have been a Vista volunteer because all them cats got to go up to the Appalachians and going, hi, do you know how to read?
Say what?
Okay. You know, and you just, you know, you're hanging with them and everything. Sure, I understand it sooner or later. It's almost like the mafia, you know, if you hang around a little too long, or like the Hell's Angel, hang around a little too long, ingratiate yourself too much, be a little bit too much of a phony, and you'll get your freaking ass stomped. Anyway, so moving on, I don't know how we got into that, but it was fun. I want to read a little bit of email. By the way, Harry and I were talking about the film Casino. This week, our DVD pick is Untouchables, starring Sean Connery, and we quote the great line from, of course, the memorable line from Untouchables, just like a wop to bring a knife to a gunfight. One of the great lines of all time. Remember that one, Harry? Guy comes into his house with a knife, and he turns around with a shotgun. Says, just like a wop to bring a knife to a gunfight. Jim Malone, who, I tell you something about the Untouchables. This is very interesting. You're not going to believe this, but it's true. When I was in St. Paul, Minnesota, I met a guy who was 95 years old, and he was the accountant for Mike Malloy, who was the guy that Jim Malone was based on. Mike Malloy was the oldest of the Untouchables. You know how old he was? 30. See, people don't know that the Untouchables, these were all very young men. Elliot Ness was 26. Al Capone was 31. These were all young guys doing battle with each other. When the Treasury Department assigned Elliot Ness this job in Chicago, which is what the Internal Revenue's Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms Squad, they're based on the old Untouchables. They were revenue, Treasury Department revenue cops. What's that? You're making booze and you're not paying taxes? Well, here's a machine gun blast for you. Brrr, you know, those little bullet holes in the barrels and the booze comes pouring out. So Elliot Ness was 26. The oldest guy was this guy, Mike Malloy. He was 30. And this dude, this old guy I met in St. Paul, he was his accountant. This guy would call my show. So I put him on the air because I love talking to cats that lived it, man. You know, this guy's like, oh, yeah, I knew Mike Malloy. Oh, he was a real sack of dung. But you know how these guys are. He says, oh, I remember when St. Paul was one speakeasy after another right up and down Main Street. Why, some of the quim coming out of there. Some of the trim that had be coming out of that, you know, those terms they'd use. You know, and I remember just walking down Main Street in St. Paul, just walking down, you'd get yourself a roaring case of syphilis. By the end of the street, you'd be blind. And he says, Mike Malloy was one of my clients. I was his accountant. I said, no kidding, what kind of guys were these? So it's just the regular guys. They were cops. He said, they were freaking cops. So what's a cop like? He said, that's what the guy was. You know, this guy was like lifting weights, you know, guns, and they would run around and they'd shoot cats, you know, and all that stuff. But the whole trip with these cats, the Untouchables, this is a fact. A, Elliot Ness never met. See, the movie that we got, our DVD, is crap. Just like Gangs of New York is total crap. But I happen to like Untouchables because it's a great action movie. Gangs of New York is Kong, it just sucks Kong. It's just full Kong suck. Gangs of New York, man, I wouldn't recommend that to my worst freaking enemy. Anyway, Untouchables is just cool, especially that whole shootout scene in the freaking train station. Now, come on. So But first of all, Ness never met Al Capone, but he did talk to him once. And there's a scene in the movie when the beer trucks are going down the street, and he calls up Elliot Ness, or Ness calls Capone. He says, look out your window. That happened. That actually did happen. He got Capone's office number, and he found out that the code for Al Capone was Snarky. Let me talk to Snarky. Well, Al Capone's brother answered the phone, Ralph. He said, let me talk to Snarky. Capone got on. He says, Al, this is Elliot Ness. Look out your window. And going down the State Street in Chicago were all these beer trucks that the Treasury Department had confiscated from Capone's operation. They had nothing whatsoever to do with the Internal Revenue thing that finally put Capone in prison. But what they did do is they harassed him enough where it just became a pain in the ass. They went around, they shut down distillery after distillery, they roughed up their people. And this was back in the day when you didn't have to give a guy his Miranda rights. And cops didn't. You know, they take you into a room with a sap, really? So what happened?
I ain't talking to no copper.
Well, see this? This is called a lead pipe. Meet him. Woo! Little Babe Ruth swing. And what happened to Elliot Ness is very interesting. Finally, the job's done in Chicago. He's now 28, 29, 30, 31. Now he moves on to the city of Cleveland. These are things people don't know about Elliot Ness. You know what he did in Cleveland? He was the chief of public safety in Cleveland. He's the first guy to put radios in the squad cars. The city of Cleveland was the first police department that had radio cars. He also was one of the very first cops to start a gang detail. They had gang programs in Cleveland back in the 30s. But the thing that brought him down in Cleveland was there was a series of serial murderer they called the Torso Killer. He was leaving torsos on the shores of Lake Erie. And nobody could find out who this guy was, and Ness couldn't crack the case. So he finally tried to run for mayor of Cleveland, and he got washed out of Cleveland. Now get this. So now his career's really in decline. Now he gets a job. This is Elliot Ness, the guy who was the untouchable guy. Now he gets a job representing a company that makes checks. Now he knows a little bit about security, and he knows how to make checks so that they're secure, so that you can't counterfeit them. And he becomes kind of the director of security for this check company. And his boss is a nice guy. He says, Elliot, I'm going to Washington. We're going to do some business. Come on with me. So they go to Washington. Well, they run into a writer, and I forget the guy's name, but he's the guy that wrote the book, who this boss knew. And they're catching up on old times. The boss says to the writer, well, you ought to meet my partner here, Elliot Ness. He used to be with the Treasury Department. He dried up Al Capone. Now, this guy turns and looks at this man, and Ness was a very soft-spoken guy. And he sat down and says, are you Elliot Ness? He says, yeah. He said, do you have any? And he says, well, I got a scrapbook. Guy says, I would really love to see that. So Ness says, sure. He sends this guy the scrapbook. You know the guy's name. The guy calls him. He says, Elliot, we got a book called The Untouchables. I want to write this book. The galleys, I've already, you know, if you approve it. And Ness says, sure, it'd be great. The guy gets, Elliot Ness puts the phone down, walks into the living room, says to his wife, boy, I feel pretty good. Walks into the kitchen to get a glass of water, drops dead of a heart attack. It's like 55 years old. So he never saw the TV show come out. Obviously never. He didn't live to see himself become the legend. And the legend that sprung up around Elliot Ness is all, it's a lot of stupid crap, but a lot of it's, you know, true. But he never lived to see any of it. He just sat on the floor of a hotel room and a guy said, You're Elliot Ness. Yeah. Can I see your scrap? And this guy couldn't believe that he was running into in a hotel room drinking a bottle of bourbon with this guy who is now in his 50s who rounded up Al Capone. So you got to check out. You can read The Untouchables, but check out this crap about what he did in Cleveland with the torso murders. That's the thing that he couldn't solve this torso thing. So, I mean, how are you going to solve it? There's no head, no arms, and no legs, right, bud?
Yeah, there's no fingerprints, right?
Not with any hands or arms.
What if they found the arms?
Then I guess they'd have fingerprints. But how do they know which body it belongs to?
But they'd have the fingerprints.
The fingerprints of what? They got a separate arm and a separate body.
They can match it up.
What is it, a puzzle? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, Lloyd.
Yes, sir. I was listening to your commentaries on Elliot Ness. You're a good deal younger than me. apparently you're not familiar with him. He rode a horse up to the Canadian border and machine-gunned him at every event.
No, he didn't.
Excuse me, but are you younger than me or are you not?
Well, I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 78.
Okay, then I am younger than you.
Okay. So I'm telling you, he machine-gunned some Canadians.
Well, you know what? No, he did not. You mean the thing in the movie?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's in a movie. The movie shows him machine-gunning Canadians.
He didn't machine-gun any Canadians. He took out some... In the movie, he...
Hold on. Who is the guy in the hat?
What guy in which hat?
The Smokey the Bear hat. Isn't that a Canadian? Mr. Henry, you may find this funny, but if you've got a position of responsibility in the broadcast industry...
What do you mean, isn't that a Canadian? The guy in the movie was a Royal Canadian Mounted Cop.
He was a mounted what?
Cop.
That was a Canadian.
Yeah, but that didn't never happen, man. That's what I'm saying. The movie is bullcrap.
My understanding is that film was based upon the life of Mr. Ness that you're talking about.
Well, then, but it wasn't. I'm telling you, it might have been based on it.
Let me ask you something else, Porky. As long as you're bumbling.
Oh, shut up! Now it's time for some email.
Well, right to this thing, I put him through.
You put that guy through? Just why? So you could get his Porky line out?
He said about the guy with the red hat.
Who cares, man? It was a guy. It was a guy that was supposed to be a Canuck, a cop from Canada. It had nothing to do with reality. It never happened, bud.
Really?
Yes. I'm sorry if it disappoints you.
He never rode out on the bridge and machine gun a guy?
No, he didn't, bud. It never happened. It's all bullcrap. Elliot Ness never machine gunned a bunch of guys in red Smokey the Bear hats near Canada. Jesus. All right, now it's time for a little email here. Phil, I don't know if you'll read this. I'm drunk, so what the hell? I was a Backstage Pass subscriber several years ago before podcasting was available, whatever that is. But the streams kept me tied to my computer. The quality was sub-radio quality, and I had to cancel. Now that you have quality MP3s available for download to listen to whenever I want to, I will be a subscriber for life, or at least till whenever you check out and sell your reruns to UPN Radio. Thanks for all the laughs. Over 5 years, you're the funniest gig I've ever come across, and I'll gladly pay for it. Just don't take my credit card to TJ. Thank you, sir, for that podcast endorsement, because we have had so many people belly aching about it that I just want to drop to my knees and weep. However, if you're digging it, it's good enough for me, man. This one from Brian. Hey, Phil, I was playing some archive clips while on the 405 and almost crashed into the car in front of me when Lloyd Bonafide sang Blue Suede Shoes while getting a root. When Lloyd Bonafide sang Blue Suede Shoes while getting a root canal. What the hell? Other drivers thought I was going into hysterics from laughing so hard, and I thought I was just going to have to pull over. I just wonder why it took me so long to sign up for the Backstage Pass. These are all Backstage Pass endorsements. Way to do it, Michelle. I like the way you're editing this email. Thanks for doing what you do and making us all laugh. You're the best thing on radio, and I tune in every night in L.A. Regards, Brian Thomas. By the way, your mom says hi. Thank you. Now, speaking of that, I just want you to know that Comb Over Boy, Comb, if you're going to do a tequila show, because I understand that the boy is doing it, you know, he's been making comments about tequila. In other words, what he's done is what he accuses other people of doing, ripping off his, quote, material like he has any. So he's doing tequila reviews, you know, because he realized that wine thing he was doing was just a little on the fae side, a little on the side. So now he's doing tequila reviews. The problem is you got to be able to hold more than one shot. You know, if you're doing two shots there, boy, while you're doing a tequila review and then you're trying to, like, figure out your cell phone while sitting kind of slumped on a bar stool. You know, kind of sounds like...
What's wrong with my fault?
Yeah, it ain't going to work. All right, just one more. Hey, Phil, I don't think I can explain in an email how awesome you are. I've listened to you for about 5 years now, and you've given me thousands of laughs, and I just want to thank you and keep bringing it on. I can't stop replaying the bit about the middle school teacher and the chicken, the part where you started laughing. It's all great. Bye, Phil. Bud Dickman. Why do you got to put that in there?
Well, I thought you might need it. I guess not.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, I got an email here from a guy who, I must have mentioned the cuts on our new 2005 CD, Are You For Real? Because he emailed me back. He's got a photographic memory, or that couldn't be photographic because he's listening, but he's got a memory. He memorized this, and then he went back into the archives, and he's got a description of each of the cuts. And I was looking at one of them. Thank you, Lawrence, for this. And we were very suspicious for a while. We thought maybe you were like some sort of a mole in the CD processing plant someplace who, by the way, Mr. Hendry, I have a list of your cuts on the CD. But among them is this one. Bob Green, Hold My Salami. Bob is in the middle of a lawsuit involving corn dogs dipped in mayo, women sucking on popsicles, asking women about corn, and Elton John's getting married to another guy. What's the problem? And then we have Steve Bozell and the Babbo. While in a hotel with his wife April, Steve was going to try something a little more adventurous sexually, but then he realized there was a Bible in the drawer in the bedstand next to him. And Lloyd Bonafide on Saddam Hussein, after seeing a picture of the Iraqi dictator at his underpants with an erection, Lloyd thinks women will be more... will be softer on their views toward the guy. Anyway, that's part of our 2005. You can get a pre-order in by going to www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.